song very fitting for the hour in which you and I live. As I go from my living room to my kitchen, there's some senior pictures hanging on the wall of people that have graduated. And there's one in this audience that's hanging on the wall that stares at me all the time at my house, Ansley Brown. First thing I see is Ansley Brown. I think I'll buy her a horse so she won't stare at me no more. Stacy. We've had to change batteries several times this morning. Sometimes in electronics, we get batteries in and they don't work. Then we have to change them again about 2 or 3 minutes later into the service. And sometimes they don't work, but hopefully right now we got some that's going to work. In the book of Numbers chapter 20, when a man willfully disobeys God, what is next? Reading verses 1 through 6, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, that they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle shall die here? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. Can you imagine those people complaining? We ever do that? We do the same thing they do. Listen to that verse again. There's no place of seed or no figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is any water, as if God hadn't been supplying to them what they needed. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Then I want you to note verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye, notice that word speak, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rock from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. What was he supposed to have done? Spoken to it. But he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. I want you to notice something. The instructions of the Lord are very clear to Moses and Aaron. Moses was to take his staff and gather the people together. He did that. He was to speak to the rock, the source of water, the source of living water that would keep people living and keep their livestock living. Moses began in obedience. He took the staff from the Lord's presence in the tabernacle and gathered the people together, but then tragedy happened. Moses committed the gross error of the day, disobedience. He spoke to the people and not to the rock. Verse 10 tells us that. He spoke to the people and not to the rock. He did not give God the full credit or honor. He got mad. He charged the people as rebels. He struck the rock in anger instead of speaking to the rock. He struck the rock twice in verse 11. And the water came out abundantly. Well, that all sounds good, but he didn't obey God. Notice verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall bring this congregation into the land. Therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given thee. The response of the Lord to Moses' disobedience was immediately. Immediately. So immediate, he charged Moses and Aaron as failing to trust him, not honoring him, not being obedient. He chastised Moses and he said that he would not be allowed to enter the promised land. Neither of those men were allowed to enter the promised land. My friend, when you and I as a believer disobey God, listen to me, when we disobey God, God has no choice but to chastise us or whip us. He has no choice. When you and I sin against a holy, righteous, pure God, he has no choice but to whip us. And he lets us know immediately by the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we have one of two choices to make. We can repent, or we can become consumed by the sin we've committed. We can repent, or we can become consumed by the sin that we've committed. Neither of those men would enter the promised land. That's the consequence of disobedience. And then I want you to turn to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 1. And I want to begin reading with verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. What's that saying? Read that again. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And then we read verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Listen, you might not take God seriously. You may not take God seriously. Even worse, you may not take sin seriously. Did you know that heaven takes sin seriously? Did you know that we need to take sin seriously? Verse 24, I want you to notice something. Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanliness. Notice the words, God gave them up. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them unto their vile affections. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind. Three times God gave them up. What does that mean? What does that mean, God gave them up? That means that God abandoned them. God deserted them. It literally means to deliver over to the power of another. To deliver over to the power of another. This refers to individuals and this refers to nations. If they persist in certain attitudes and actions, persisting in their own sin, God will abandon them. My friend, there's a limit to his long suffering. There's a limit to the long suffering of God. In other words, there will come a time when God says concerning individuals and nations, enough is enough. Could I ask you a question? Are we there as a nation where God has said enough is enough? Romans chapter 1, we see at least two truths about God's giving up. First of all, the cause or reason of God's giving up. There's several reasons I want to talk about. First of all, individuals repress the truth. Look at 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Fits America today? Yes. Yes. We have the truth. We know the truth. But we refuse the truth. Many in America today are refusing the truth. refusing the truth. How does that happen? By rejecting the Word of God. Repressing the Word of God. Restraining it, restraining the Word of God through unrighteous lifestyles. Sin. Sin. How else do we know the cause or reason of God's giving up? Well, they reject the knowledge of God. Look at Romans 1:19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood with the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 19, listen closely. Verse 19, verse 20, that which may be made known of God is manifest in them. In the conscience of every person, in the conscience of every person is an innate, inherent knowledge of God. Men are born with a God consciousness, with the awareness that there's something bigger and beyond themselves. And verse 20 says, notice that again, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood with the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. My friend, God gives up people, and God gives up nations when they replace him, the Creator, with the created or the creature. Psalms chapter 7, verse 11 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day. John 3:36 says this, and I want to read this to you. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. My friend, to put it plain, all of heaven is behind the Lord's wrath. We might not take sin seriously, but God does. Heaven does. And we need to. We need to. Man will not get by with his sin. As the old preacher, Dr. R.G. Lee, said many, many years ago, there's a payday someday. There's a payday someday. I want us to read Romans chapter 1, verse 18 again. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. His wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. Note specifically the nature of their sin, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You know what men are doing with the word today? They're shaking their fist at it. Men are not listening to the Word of God. Men could care less what the Word of God has to say. And folks, I hate to tell you this. We live in the Bible Belt in the United States of America, and we have many today who are rejecting God's Word, who don't want to hear the truth. That's where we are. We're in the Bible Belt. You leave the Bible Belt, you'd be lucky to find even a service on Sunday morning where somebody's preaching. And that's the United States of America that was built on God. What in the world has happened? What's happened? The reason that God is continually revealing his wrath is that man continually sins. Man continually sins. In our day in America, truth has fallen on hard times. Truth has fallen on hard times. We live in a time that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Could I tell y'all something? If my daddy said he's going to give me a whipping, that's exactly what he did, and that was absolute truth. If my mama told me to be quiet, believe me, that was absolute truth, or she'd get my attention. I was 18 years old. My mother had never slapped me in her life, so uncharacteristic of her. We're on a vacation in Texas. I'm 18 years old. I'm trying to look like Elvis Presley. I've got my hair all glued back. I got pimples all over my face. I'm a smart aleck. And I was back talking my mama. She was ironing, and I was back talking her. And next thing I know, she done slapped the fire out of me. Never in my life. Let me tell you something. I didn't give her the second opportunity. I started doing what I knew I needed to be doing, and that was minding. It didn't make a difference if I was 18 or 98. I was to mind my mama. We need folks today to mind God. You know what? Creation testifies that there is a creator, so we have the knowledge of God. Let me read that again. Creation testifies that there is a creator. We have the knowledge of God. Not one person will be able to stand and say to God, I didn't know. I didn't know. Why does God give up? Why does God say enough is enough? There's another reason. They refuse to honor God. They refuse to honor God. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, refusing to honor God. When a person has a knowledge of God, and everyone does, and yet rejects that knowledge, then they are not glorifying God. The minute I start rejecting God, I'm not glorifying God. Listen, I may acknowledge him by saying that I believe he exists. But to glorify God means I honor him. To glorify God means I value him. To glorify God means that I esteem him. To glorify God means I exalt him as a prized possession. My friend, look at your life. Look at your life. Are you living for God every day? Are you living for God every day? Think about that. You can look at your checkbook over the last 6 months and find out if you're doing that of living for God. And you can look at where you've been in the last 6 months and the attitudes that you might have taken and where you concentrated the most. Were you glorifying God? Another thing, they replaced the glory of God. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to comparable man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The word change means exchanged. Exchanged. Listen closely. God gives people or nations up when they replace him, the creator, with the creature. Who's God to you? Who is God to you? Does he exist in your life? Is he real? Do you see it every day? Am I serving him? Do I love him? Do I value him? Do I esteem him? Am I living for God? There's a consequence to that of giving up. Romans 1 and 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their hearts. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Verse 28, and as even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. My. Let me tell you something. The fact is this. I want you to listen closely. The fact that something is legal doesn't make it necessarily right. It's legal in America to have abortions and kill babies. But let me tell you something. It ain't right. It ain't right. It's legal in America for men to marry men and women to marry women, but that's not what God intended based on your plumbing. Y'all get that? I don't know where that came from. My friend, do not mistake sin. Do not overlook sin. God gives up individuals and God gives up nations. How does God punish sin? By giving men over to sin. That's what's happened in America. That's what's happened in America in those that are living continuously in sin and telling you it's okay. God gives men over to sin, and according to verse 28, he judges them by giving them what they want. You talk to somebody that's in the bondage of homosexuality, you know what you'll find out about them if you talk to them? They're in bondage. They're living in bondage. God has given up to that of bondage. And like the prophet Habakkuk, we need to pray what he prayed for when his nation was under God's judgment. This is what he prayed: O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of thy years. In the midst of thy years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. Friend, you and I, as people in America right now, we need to pray. We need to pray, God, revive thy work. We need to pray, Lord, reveal to us your presence. We need to pray, God, be merciful to us. Folks, the only hope in America is one, and that's God. That's the only hope we have. Nations disobey God, judgment is next. And that's where we are in America. Judgment. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you know our needs today. God, you know that man, woman, boy, or girl that may be listening to this by means of live streaming or by means of this live service. You know that man, woman, boy, or girl that may be living in sin. God, I pray that you'd give them one more opportunity to repent. God, you may know that person in this audience today, whether it's live streaming or live, that's never trusted you by faith to be their Savior. Father, I pray today would be the day that they'd cry out to you to save their soul. Father, speak to us. God, go with us, go before us, guide us, direct us, protect us, and we'll be careful to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.